Time now for the Hardline.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue, Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Whoa, unbelievable.
The Hard Line starts now.
Hey, welcome into a special edition of The Hard Line. Cam Jansen, as you know, just had the Cam Jansen show. It is TJ Moe, Howard Balzer, and potentially John Hadley joining us at some point today.
Potentially?
Yeah, who knows? He's not feeling great, so he didn't know if he wanted to come in. By the way, he's calling me right this second.
When you go on the air.
Yes, as I'm going on the air. So he is, there's that. 855-282-8255. I will text him. John, I should have, in his honor, answered it while I was on the air and my voice was still in reach of the microphone. He usually says, "Hey, bud, what's up? Hey, bud. Hey, I'm on the air right now." He does that routinely. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on today. It's not my favorite time of the year, but man, it's ramping up. This is the most exciting time of the year, I think, because it's a lot of projection. Projecting's fun. I like seeing what's happening, but projecting is fun. Right. All the over-unders are coming out. You know, you're seeing the preseason, all the guys. We just went through the draft. Everybody get excited about that. But then there's a letdown through the summer because they got to try to go through OTAs and all the contract stuff. But the fun is right around the corner. And projecting, I think, especially fantasy football and all, like you and I know Mark Littlebridge did a lot of fantasy football stuff last year. This is a great time of year.
It really is. Although, the one thing about it, which I'm sure I would hope you would agree, you're right. It's great to project. It's great to, if there's intrigue in terms of what's going to happen with some teams, especially some of these guys, teams with younger quarterbacks, who's going to end up playing. Mm-hmm. You hate to see when injuries hit and how much that's going to have an effect. But I'll tell you, every year when this time comes around, TJ, you say, man, I can't wait. Can't wait for the games to start. Can't wait for the games to start. And then as soon as they start, I say, man, I can't wait till they're done.
Isn't that amazing?
And the season starts. And my wife says to me, she watches them more than me. Yeah. You know, and she loves football. And she watches more than me. And I just have a hard time keeping my interest. I really do. And it's just the way it is. And she says, well, you went all the time when the Rams were here. I had to go.
Yeah.
You know, you had to go. You had to keep up with the Rams, what was happening with the guys. You're at practice every day and all that stuff. Now it's like, yeah, you keep up on what's going on, but you also know that it's so hard to really reach any conclusions from it because it's almost, should we create a term here, fake football? Because in a lot of ways it kind of is. It's football, but it's not real, and there's not game planning and all those things. So to me, it's really hard to evaluate. Especially when you look at a quarterback, oh, this quarterback did this, and he always has to say, yeah, but who is he playing against?
Right.
And all those things. So it just makes it really tough. But it is a fun time of the year, don't get me wrong.
You know,
but I can't wait. And it's only 3 weeks. It's hard to believe.
Right.
The opener, that Thursday season opener was 3 weeks from yesterday.
You are smart enough, and I think most fans aren't, but you are smart enough, having been around the game long enough, that you can pick out what matters and what doesn't.
Right.
With the Sam Darnold stuff going on right now versus Teddy Bridgewater, it's not about the stats.
Exactly.
It's about, wow, he was moving to his left, throwing across his body, and he hit a guy in stride. That's the kind of stuff that
making
for
decisions.
Us is cool to see.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing about it, because you never want to overreact to when guys do well. On the other hand, especially with younger guys, you certainly don't want them to do poorly, because that's when it really can raise red flags. But we've seen enough examples of guys who have come in and just lit it up in the summer, and then when the season comes around, it's like, it's not so good. But you're right. There are things that you can take from it. But, God, you know, we know that the game is a game. You know, I've always thought, I'd love to hear your – I actually suggested this to Dick Vermeil once, and he looked at me and he said, really? Are you serious? Because the one thing about the preseason, obviously it doesn't matter who wins games, but nobody of merit who's going to play when September rolls around is playing in the fourth quarter for the most part in these games. So I've always said, wouldn't it be great to pick one game? Maybe it's that third preseason game, and have the backups start the game and then have the starters come in for the second half.
And play
the second half, or maybe a little bit in the second quarter just to get into it, then come back for the second half, but be there at the end of the game for those situations that you know you're going to face in the regular season, but you never do in the preseason because you're out of the game and you're standing there on the sideline without your uniform.
That makes a ton of sense. And
it
would never happen because they don't want guys playing that hard and to actually go win the game. Hey, John Hadley's on the phone. John, how you feeling? Are you you sounded slightly better, but then David Solomon told me you don't sound great.
It's none of your damn business to stay out of my personal life.
Well, we do have to listen to your voice, which makes it a lot less personal of your business.
Hey, I want you to do me a favor, in all seriousness, because I was just on the 590 Twitter account.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Give out the Twitter information, because Nick Gale posted today an absolutely phenomenal recap of last week's PGA Championship. So if you want to see an absolutely terrific video presentation recapping last week's PGA Championship at Belle Reve, relive it one more time. Tell them how to get to the 590 Twitter page. I think it's just Twitter. I don't know all this crap. My son has me on the Zuckerberg thing now. I don't know where the hell I'm at. Wherever it is.
It is 590 The Fan. You use the numbers 590 The Fan, and you are correct. 3 hours ago, he tweeted out, and I suppose he retweeted it just recently here. He said, now that the PGA Championship is finally over, take a look back at what was the world's best golfers and what they had to say. I'm retweeting that as we speak. And yes, if that's a compilation video of what was, you know, the top 10, 15, 20 golfers in the world all talking about how St. Louis was unmatched when it came to places they've been and majors they've played in. So there you go. 590 The Fan.
590 The Fan on Twitter. I'm serious. It's well, I'm not one of these guys, but in this case, I'm glad that I was, because it's a great, great recap of the Balzer. How you doing, boy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And I'll tell you, though, you're not one of those guys, the Twitter thing. But you know what? The thing that I get the most out of Twitter, which is one of the best things, is that those who post stuff like that, they'll post a video or they'll post a story or whatever it is, not just sports. They'll post a great read, and it's right there, and you just click on it, and boom, you don't have to search a website. It just takes you right to it. The one thing that drives me nuts is when I click on a newspaper website because someone posted the darn link to it on Twitter, and then you get to it, and they're asking you for money to subscribe, and you can't read the story.
Mm.
And I said, well, don't post it if you're asking somebody to pay. But point being, though, it is a great – I've always found it to be a great resource for that, and Facebook is too, for people who post that stuff, because it really saves you a lot of time from searching all over for things.
So basically –
he hates The Athletic. That's what he's saying.
Guys like me who are willing to pay for legit content should be penalized because cheap SOBs like you don't want to post it.
No, I'm not saying that, because I think, you know, those sites that do that, that's fine. But all I'm saying is don't post the story on Twitter, which is quote free, and then someone clicks there expecting to read the story, and it's not only that you have to pay, because it's usually not very much, it's not only you have to pay, but you clicked on it because you want to read that story that moment. But now you got to, to pay for it, now you got to give them your information, and you got to give them your credit card, and you got to do all that. I want to read the story. So no, I get that. There's a lot of people who pay, and I'm fine with it. I pay for stuff. I pay for that. But I'm talking, if you post it like that, be able to read the story. That's all I'm saying.
He hates The Athletic. He hates puppies. He hates rainbows.
No, I don't.
Did you hear all that, John?
No, I don't.
Okay, so 590 The Fan, once again, go follow them on Twitter. A lot of good stuff coming out from Nick Yale and the guys that run the social media for the company there. Use the numbers, 590, and then spell out The Fan. You can also do it. It's on Facebook as well, John. I tweeted that out. I suppose I didn't tweet it on, but I shared it on Facebook as well. So that's been out for a few hours. I would recommend listening to the best golfers in the world brag about your city. I like hearing that kind of thing.
That's great.
Bang. Bang.
So there you go. A little bit of news today, actually. Howard Balzer brought in all of the details of this, but there is a new Hall of Fame. I don't know. He's not an inductee yet. He's
not
a nominee.
Nominee. And the seniors committee met today in Canton. It's amazing that the ceremony was just 2 weeks ago, and already the process is in place for next year's class. And in fact, I'll be going to Canton next week for the contributors committee. I'm on that one. There's only five of us who vote, and we will put forward two contributors for the 2019 class. So the seniors committee met today in Canton.
Hey, well, sorry, backtrack. What does that mean, contributors?
Contributors, those are general managers,
okay,
owners. And this was just started about 5 years ago. Because what was happening in the last, it was something like the last 50 years or some crazy number, there had only been like six contributors elected to the Hall of Fame because they were going against players.
Right.
They were in that same group with players. And so the Hall of Fame came up with this special contributors committee to put forward some guys. And so that's how in the last few years, Bill Polian, Ron Wolf, mm-hmm. Jerry Jones, Ed DiBartolo, Bobby Bethard.
Did you vote for Jones?
A couple weeks ago. I did at the end only because I knew if I, you know, I didn't, if he got voted down, that he would come back at some point. And so I personally, I was in the meeting. See, only five guys go out of a nine-person committee. So I was in the meeting 2 years ago when he was put up for nomination, and I talked against it at that point. I said, first of all, his career's not over. Number one, he's also listed as the general manager of the team. And I noted, I said, hey, if we were to just judge him on being a general manager, he would never even get in this room to be discussed.
Yeah, he would have fired himself a long time ago.
Probably. And so I supported Pat Bowlen, Robert Kraft, you know, other owners who I think have done a lot more than just enrich themselves for the league.
And their
also,
buddies.
And also have had successful, consistently successful franchises. Yeah. But anyway, those guys and the contributors have been put up in this process. So looking forward to next week. And I'm kind of hoping Pat Bowlen gets his chance. I'm kind of pulling for Gil Brandt as well, but we'll see who gets put forward next week.
So who was it that was nominated?
For the seniors committee, it was right across the state. And I've always wondered, why did this guy not get in before, and why has he never been put forward by the seniors committee in, let me see here, 2019, I'm trying to figure out. It's been about 20 years since he wasn't elected and has been able to be put up as Johnny Robinson, mm-hmm. a safety for the Chiefs in the AFL and then in the NFL. He last played in 1971. He became eligible for the first time in 1977 and was a finalist six times in the 80s, but never got elected. And then after 1986, which was his last year as a finalist, he's been basically forgotten. Think of that. Basically forgotten for 32 years. And now he's been put forward as the seniors committee. And the great thing about it, too, is it's almost like there's been this thing against safeties for some reason. It's been very hard for safeties to be elected. Well, now we had Kenny Easley as a seniors guy 2 years ago. We had Brian Dawkins this year. Ed Reed's going to be a first-time eligible for the next election of modern-day guys. So it was good to get another safety. And this guy was a hell of a player, and I'm glad that this, and there's a lot of great seniors candidates, don't get me wrong, but I think they did a great job in putting Johnny Robinson forward as the seniors nominee this year.
John Hadley, do you think you'll still be alive when they vote on this?
Well, we'll see. I can't promise anything. What I can tell you is one, Balzer, I found out when my wife kicked my ass out of the house that 32 years can be forgotten really. Number two, Johnny Robinson was sort of like Kansas City's Larry Wilson. Johnny Robinson was a legit factor on those teams. Johnny Robinson was a part of that Super Bowl team that won for the Chiefs. Johnny Robinson was one of those guys who shined when it was time to get it on with the Oakland Raiders. Still to this day, one of the most glorious rivalries in sports back in the day was the Chiefs and Raiders. I mean, you want to talk about legit, DJ. There were more fights than points scored.
Those were the old Howie Long days, yeah?
I'm
going back to Ben Davidson. I'm going way back. I'm going into the 70s when literally, I mean, there were but you're right, even with Howie Long. I mean, it's still a great rivalry, but there were there were times that it was so, I mean, I'm not talking about guys pushing one another. I'm talking about numerous guys literally throwing punches back in the day. It was truly one of the great sports, Rob.
Yeah.
Johnny Robinson, I still distinctly remember Johnny Robinson. Willie Lanier was a legit factor. You want to talk about an unbelievable linebacker. Buck Buchanan on that front line.
So I wasn't alive. Was Lyle Alzado after these guys?
Correct.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He was.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was thinking of Buck Buchanan as you were talking, John, for this reason, because I was swirling in my mind what happened with Johnny Robinson, and he certainly got penalized somewhat for being pretty much only in the AFL because 1971 was his last year, and there was always this first there was the perception of the AFL, not only a perception, it was pretty accurate. You know, it was bombs away, they threw the ball all the time, they passed, but the overriding perception was nobody played defense. And I remember when there was a debate about Buck Buchanan going into the Hall of Fame, and someone made a great point and said that one of the reasons the Raiders drafted Gene Upshaw and Art Shell was to go against Buck Buchanan and be able to handle him. And then another point was made, if the defense was that bad in the AFL, teams would have scored 70 and 80 points instead of 30 and 40. And so, I think Johnny Robinson got kind of caught up in that whole thing. I mean, this is a guy in the AFL. He was all league 6 years, seven Pro Bowls. And again, though, he was a finalist six times. But I think when he was a finalist, there were those in the room, and I wasn't there then. There were those in the room voting who just had in their mind, the AFL, they weren't that good on defense. He's not a Hall of Famer. Well, I think he is, and I'm fairly confident come February he will be.
855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. Actually, do you have the Solomon? Do you have the text club? Because I have been locked out for many, many months now. Not that I care to read the text line. That's usually the Cam Jansen idea. If not, Matt Rocchio is there, but I do not have it. So if anybody is...
I am pulling it up now.
Thank you. If anybody says anything interesting or would like to be a part of the show, David Solomon is officially in charge of the text line.
It's not really Cam reading it. It's sort of his interpretation of what was written.
Isn't that the truth? So there you go. Your thoughts are welcome here. If you'd like to call in or text into the show, this is, are we calling this the hard line? Is this the final drive? John, you're in charge.
It's called a couple boys talking a little football.
Well, there's three of us. Like, couple is two.
We're talking football, and if you don't like it, take a long walk on the short pier because we're talking football.
We are. This is our Friday football show. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining and sticking around on your Friday headed home for the weekend. We're not too far off of the season here. We were just talking about, John, while you were we were trying to get a hold of you, of course, because you were feeling a bit under the weather, and we opened the show with what I think is you know, I tend to get almost anxious when you look too far forward. So if I start looking forward at like the beginning of July or middle of July, then you almost get like anxiety. But when I start looking forward now, it's more excitement.
Yeah.
You can look at the odds.
It's 3 weeks.
All
like
the
said.
Betting. And then because there's something on the field, you can start to evaluate the rookies and things for fantasy football. You can look at a guy like Sam Darnold and a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. There's real battles going on for positions. This is one of these 2 to 3 weeks here are some of my favorite weeks of the year.
Who wants to talk?
No. I have no idea what the hell he just said. I was reading an email.
No, you're right.
Why are you talking to Howard about this? Yeah, I was talking
question.
To you, John.
And it's these 2 weeks, really, because next week, of course, is the, quote, you know, third week,
mm-hmm.
where we know in the fourth week, there's jobs on the line then, but that's for mostly special teams guys and backups,
right?
Because the starters hardly play at all.
Now, there's one big cut now, which is a change from
that's true,
a couple of years
right,
ago,
exactly.
where we started to get a better idea after the third preseason game. Now you don't. Now it's one big cut from 90 down
right.
to 53.
Right, exactly. And which made sense, mm-hmm. because so many guys aren't going to play in the final preseason game, so you might as well have another whatever. What is it? They used to cut to 75.
Cut to 75.
So another
yep.
12 guys around to at least be available for that last game. And so, but there are jobs of those backups up for grabs. But next week, you know, after this week and then next week, of course, that that crucial third week is certainly going to solidify in a lot of places a certain amount of things. And so, like you mentioned, Darnold is one being talked about the most, because it seems like right now of all the rookie quarterbacks, he probably has the best chance of starting.
Oh, man, I disagree after watching. It's not because of him. It's because of Teddy Bridgewater, who's lighting the world on fire right now. But I think that's the story of the preseason.
But I think, it is a good story. Don't get me wrong. I just wonder, I don't know that they would start him. I mean, maybe they would if they think they can make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what everybody seems to think will be what the Jets are hoping for now. Some team that maybe doesn't have a great quarterback situation will say, okay, Bridgewater looks healthy now. He's this, he's that. He was actually talking about how happy he was to get hit.
Yeah, right.
And be able to, you know, come back from that. So I still think from the Jets' standpoint, they drafted Sam Darnold to be their quarterback
for
a long time.
Absolutely.
And to me, if you have the support of a running game and support of at least a decent offensive line, in my mind, play the guy and let him take his lumps and get it out of the way.
So we know that preseason stats don't matter, but I'm going to give you some anyway. This is Teddy Bridgewater's stat line, and this, in my opinion, is the most important stat for a quarterback. That's yards per attempt, 9.2 for Teddy Bridgewater versus Sam Darnold's 5.45. And again, it's preseason. It doesn't matter. It's more about movement and stuff. But Teddy has proven that he's an NFL guy when healthy and that he can be a top 12 to 15 quarterback in this league. And I think what he's doing is, John pointed this out probably 3 weeks ago now, if he can get on the field, he's the biggest trade chip available in the preseason. But is he so good right now? And, man, has he been good, if you've watched these preseason games, that you say, does Darnold have to play today? Because Josh McCown's the one that you can just let go tomorrow. Who cares? Whereas if you have Bridgewater, if you want him to be a placeholder for a year, if the guy is playing that well, Aaron Rodgers is a lot of evidence that it's not the worst thing in the world to sit behind good player.
No, that's true.
Well, let me hop in here real quick, because not only Aaron Rodgers, I mean, let's not forget Tom Brady didn't start.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget Drew Brees. Was it Drew? Yeah, Drew Brees was on the bench for a while.
Yeah, a couple seasons. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so was Philip Rivers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, so I mean, in the truest sense, some of the game's very best in this era spent some time on the bench, and Bridgewater's proven that he's a very competent quarterback. I mean, I was being a smart aleck when I said it before. I truly enjoy preseason football because it gives you an opportunity to see guys in preparation for the future. I mean, I know that I'm paid to do it, so I probably take it a little bit more serious than most. But one of the things I really like here is during preseason is watching the young offensive linemen, because you can sort of get a feel for guys that maybe. I mean, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to get beat. But you can also see guys who are competitive that may have a little bit more advanced style to them than you expected. And unfortunately, as we learned with with my beloved Rammies, you can also tell real early on, what the hell did they draft this guy for?
That's true. And part of the preseason as well is the storylines that unfold with the Aaron Donalds of the world and the Khalil Macks of the world, who both are still not in camp, and Le'Veon Bell, right? I mean, you get all these guys that are the premier players in the league, and one of which I am convinced Aaron Donald is not stepping foot on the field this season until he gets a deal.
I'm not opposed to a guy. I'm not opposed to a guy like an Aaron Donald being out for a little bit. Because my biggest fear about preseason is injury.
Right.
Because we've seen you don't even have to step on the field to play for a preseason game.
Well, shoot,
to be injured.
Isaiah Wynn. Yeah. Isaiah Wynn yesterday tore his Achilles. He was the guy that was single-handedly supposed to be replacing the left side of that line for him, and he's gone. Just a bad step.
But a lot of guys, when they've missed the time, and it's not only missing the games, it's just missing playing football and just preparing to play football, and then being able to do that. When you're, no matter how hard you're working out, lifting or doing whatever, once you come in there, and that's when muscle injuries happen. Hey, we saw it with Orlando Pace a couple times. I mean, he was a franchise player two, 3 years in a row. He finally signed a third time, but he started getting some injuries. and how much that was due to him not being there. There are a lot of people convinced that that's what can happen.
Well, John, you were going the other way, weren't you?
We saw with Joey Bosa. We saw with Joey Bosa when he reported late as a rookie, and he came back from an injury to still play well, but who knows if he'd been injured worse.
Yeah, I think John was arguing the opposite, though. He said he's not opposed to him staying out because he can stay away from the preseason injuries. Is that right, John?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, I understand what Howard's saying, and he's certainly not wrong, but, you know, but again, I'm specifically talking about, well, you know, you could throw Khalil Mack in that group, too. I mean, there are guys who are just God-given talents. I mean, Aaron Donald, you would never suspect watching Aaron Donald, if you had no idea who that was and you just see him walking on the field with the rest of the defensive linemen, you're thinking to yourself, oh, there's the odd guy out.
Yeah.
Because physically he's not overly impressive in comparison to the specimens that he's, you know, that he's, but, you know, Aaron Donald is just a baller. Khalil Mack's just a baller. I mean, he's, you know, if they miss a little time, I'm not overly concerned because these are guys who just excel at what they do. Is Aaron Donald going to be as sharp? No, but will Aaron Donald still be a factor? Hell yes.
Aaron Donald could probably miss 2 years and still be the best defensive lineman in the league.
Now, 1 second. I will say this much, though. If it does persist, I really do believe, Howard, that it's a double whammy because without Aaron Donald on the field, you hurt your football team. But I think the chances are, based on what we've seen from him, in a sense, not in total, because he's still a solid football player, but you're also wasting your investment in Dominican Sue. Because Donald being with Sue has the potential of making Sue an absolute force once again.
No doubt. And the other thing is, if he's not there for any stretch of time, when you look, and I still think the biggest question to me on the Rams is, as good as they've done upgrading the secondary, especially at corner, there's a lot of questions about the pass rush. And they have big questions at outside linebacker for that pass rush. And certainly Aaron Donald supplies a certain amount of pass rush from the position he plays. If they don't have that, then I really wonder where they're going to get a pass rush from. And, hey, as we know in this league, you only play 16. So you lose a couple because of a guy not being there or whatever. That could cost you a division. It could cost you home field. It's, you know, every game is just so important that could really have, you know, that could really be detrimental to the Rams if he's not there for whatever, however many games.
That'd be true if they weren't in the NFC West. The NFC West, well, they're going to run through it.
Well, they'll probably win the division anyway. I'll give you that one. But in terms of a bye or home field, that could really affect
them. Hey, we got to go to break. John, do you want us to call you back every segment? Do you want to stay on the phone? Do you have, I would recommend a headset. Your arm's going to fall off. I know you already got shoulder problems, John. What do you want to do here?
I'm just going to set the phone gun, make me a pork sandwich and come back.
You know what? We've heard one of your other 9 phones. You're getting a lot of ESPN updates. Anything interesting?
Well, yeah. I mean, Ibrahimovic is not playing tonight for the Galaxy. My favorite soccer player in the world. That bums me out a little bit. Yeah. I was planning on watching a little bit of that.
John, you just told us this was a couple boys talking football. And I guess you are talking
football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got to go to break. John, real quick. We have, you're probably over there eating hot dogs. Tell us about the Kirkwood Brewhouse real quick.
Well, As far as I'm concerned, when it comes to restaurants, and truly when it comes to restaurants, when you find a place that you know is a go-to, that's the best you can say about a restaurant. And when I whether it's the salmon, whether it's some of the salads, I mean, there's and obviously, as you're well aware of, TJ, when it comes to some of the appetizers.
Oh, my gosh.
I know you like that candy bacon. And,
yep.
You know, I mean, it's just you just
calamari.
Yeah, and I love the calamari. When you sit down to eat, you're expecting, and they pay off every time. You invest in the Kirkwood Brewhouse, you'll get your dividend guaranteed. I don't know what else to say about them other than you have good service in a great setting, big screen TVs everywhere, and a menu that will not disappoint. Consistency is good in every aspect of life. And when it comes to restaurants, I consistently expect McDonald's to forget my French fries and the Kirkwood Brewhouse to give me a great meal, and that's exactly what happens.
That is the voice of John Hadley. He's homesick, but contributing anyway, along with his, what do you say, his pork sandwich?
Yes, he said his pork sandwich.
Yeah, so I bet he's sad he's not eating the calamari from the Kirkwood Brewhouse right about now. Hey, we got to go to break. We will be back very shortly, though. Talk some more football. We got about an hour and a half left of this. This is TJ Moe, Howard Balzer, John Hadley with you until 6 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. This is The Hardline. Hey, welcome back to The Hardline, 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Also, if your signal is a little bit fuzzy, I would recommend the 590 The Fan app. That is what I listen to, and that has been completely redone, actually. And if you have the old app, have not updated it recently, delete that. That is no longer in the App Store, and go download the new 590 The Fan app. You'll have a crystal clear signal without all the glitches that were in the old app. So do that, and do it now. 855-282-8255. That is the text line. That is also the phone line. David Solomon is perusing the text line. If you guys have any thoughts, he is on top of that. Okay, so Hadley, there was something that I've been thinking about. We kind of dug into this a little bit earlier in the week, but of course you have better things to do, so you weren't on the show with us. And that is this. So I've heard a lot of people rip into anybody who does a holdout, but I think Aaron Donald is a little bit different in this case. And the reason I say that is because he was not a part of the union. He didn't make this collective bargaining agreement. This isn't Julio Jones, who signed a contract and 2 years into it said, I want more money, give it to me now. This wasn't like a consensual agreement. He had a slotted amount of money, and he had to be there for 4 years plus the option year, that is the team option, and there was no negotiation. It's a slotted amount. You're going to sign this or you're not going to play, and there's nothing he could do about it because other people collectively bargained it for him. So I don't mind his holdout. In fact, I think more players, young players that are this good, this fast, should hold out. And they should hold out, and you should find a way. I don't know how you do that, but in the next CBA, there's got to be something that says you can opt out of your contract if you hit certain things, because it is a crime that he's only being paid $6.9 million this year when he probably is worth somewhere in the 15 to 20 range. I know he wants 24, 25. I don't think any non-quarterback's worth that, but 6.9 is garbage. And when you're locked into that, and you haven't really agreed to it because somebody else basically said what you should be making, I have no problem with the holdout.
But here's the problem. Here, what you just pointed out, though, is that if they were being reasonable, he might have a deal already. So there still has to be, I think, a certain amount of being reasonable, whatever the definition that is. The other thing is, when it's looked at what the salary is, let's remember there was a signing bonus in there, too, that was a part of the contract. And everyone has amnesia and forgets about that. But my overall point is this, and I get what you're saying. However, from what I've seen most of the time, and it's not true every situation, but most of the time, you don't gain anything by holding out. You know, most of the time, if you're there and playing and all that, and they're negotiating, you're going to get basically the same deal you were going to get anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that withholding your certain, you know, there's this whole belief that, that's going to give me leverage and the team's going to just cave and just get this deal done. Well, a lot of times that doesn't happen. And hey, last year was the example. He held out, came in, and there's been no contract yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm – maybe marginally get a little more, but I don't think that it's that much, and I don't think most of the time it's anything.
I think you're right.
What you were going to get anyway.
Practically, I think
can
it's
I just say,
wrong
can
holistically.
I just say I'm a little freaked out here because I've never – I don't think one should ever hide who they are or what they are, because our experiences make who we are. So I've never hidden the fact that back in the day, you know, I probably...
John, are you having a stroke?
I probably dropped more LSD than I should have. I probably snorted too much coke than I should have. I drank too much. I probably smoked too much weed. I mean, I don't hide the fact that I had I had some fun, but I was not the smartest guy with the way I took care of my body. But I never thought that I would have a radio host ask me a question specifically, point that question to me, and then I would answer without opening my mouth in a different tone.
That is true. I did start that out with Hadley. Would you like to answer, John?
Boys, I'll just tell you this much. I never say ever with virtually anything anymore. So there's always exceptions to every rule. But when it comes to Aaron Donald, who I think if you have a good defense is as valuable a player as any in the NFL right now, because it's very hard for defensive tackles to carry a bad defense. But if you have a good defense, he can make you a great defense. If you have a great defense, he can make you an all-time great defense. Aaron Donald is as important to that team as any single player, including Todd Gurley. Aaron Donald has played phenomenal football for this football, for this round. Aaron Donald, in my mind, has the right to do whatever Aaron Donald wants because he earned it on the field. He earned it on. I have no problems with holdouts with guys who have earned the right.
So the larger question, and I'm with you on this one, and I get what Howard said, too.
I get hacked off with mediocre quarterbacks who somehow believe that their mediocrity is worthy of a raise just because they're a quarterback.
I agree with that, too. The larger question, I think, John, is not specifically about Aaron Donald, and I know you're not just going into him, but it is, do rookies who overperform significantly, should they be able to have something to where they can get out of this contract? Because Aaron Donald, you can make an argument, and I never will, because value's different than best player. He's probably the best player in the NFL, maybe in the last 10 years. Now, he doesn't have the most value. J.J. Watt had the greatest defensive season we've ever seen, and the team went 2-14. There's not much value there. But when you're that good of a player and you're stuck in a slotted category, that sucks. And there's you got to be able to do something about that.
Yeah, I mean, and football is one of those situations that, you know, I love it when baseball players sign a big contract and fail to perform up to expectation because they never say, well, you know what, I really didn't do what I was supposed to, so here's some money back. You know, you sign your best deal, and once it's signed, you know, you play up it. If you want to play within the rules, but I mean, there are guys who just transcend certain situations. I mean, you know, I will start feeling sorry for players when players start giving back for lack of performance.
They always want to
talk about, oh, I did this, I did this, I deserve more. Well, how about the guys who get more and then don't perform? When they start saying, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, here's some money back, then it's, but I don't get tied up into this stuff because you just never know. I mean, honestly, I don't care what the reason is. I don't care what and you know that I am a huge Remy fan through and through. I am proud Remy fan. I don't deny it. I am a big Kevin Demoff guy. I know that's unpopular in the city. I personally like Kevin Demoff, but I have no freaking idea what Kevin Demoff and the Rams are doing here because they have a glorious chance, good Lord willing, that they stay healthy. The Rams are legitimately a Super Bowl contender.
As of this moment, John, I think they're the odds-on favorite.
Maybe, well, I'm going to say maybe with Donald, they are the best team in the NFL, potentially. Why you would waste this opportunity, I have no idea, because there's no reason in this world for this organization to want to move forward, short-term or long-term, without Aaron Donald. He's that dominant a player. I think you probably have to go back into the 70s and 80s to find as dominant a defensive player to wear the horns as we're seeing with Aaron Donald.
But I think what you're advocating, though, then, is because if you have a guy like that, then basically you should just, okay, you want to be paid $6, $7 million more per year than the best paid defensive players in the NFL? Yeah, you're asked for it. We'll give it to you because you're a great player. I think there still has to be some reason in there in terms of what the contract is. And unfortunately, there are points that are comparable with other teams and other players. And yes, he's arguably the best in the league, but there's other guys I'll say this. There are other guys, whether it's Von Miller or whoever it is, that are just as valuable to their team as Aaron Donald is to his team. and those teams get those things done. And so that's why I made the point earlier. If there was being reasonable here, then this deal would have been done. It probably would have been done last year. But obviously there's something keeping it from happening. And I don't think as an organization, no matter who the organization is, you can just say, well, okay, you're a great player. You're asking for this crazy money as much as quarterbacks. Yeah, we'll give it to you because you're a great player. That would be, I don't think that would make sense.
Well, this is America where we speak American mm-hmm. and we build walls, and you have the right to be wrong.
We have not built any walls. There's little fences up at different points, but there's no walls yet.
Well,
John. There's no walls.
I know. It's sort of like a joke. I'm sorry. I forgot that you're one of these card-carrying Trumpians.
Oh, here's the thing. Like, you can't try to be sarcastic and don't tell jokes that aren't funny. Okay, 855-282-8255. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Do we have Salman has answered the phone a couple times. If there are any calls worth putting on, let me know, David. So Howard Balzer brought up a point during the break here that he's dead on and I want to hit. This, we're already seeing the new helmet rule is an absolute disaster. And not only is it a disaster for the players who are going to spend half of every game in the locker room, but it's a disaster for the fans who don't get to see a good product on the field. And it's a disaster for the referees now who are basically told to err on the side of throwing people
correct.
Out of the game.
And I think the I'm hoping, and this is what everybody is hoping, is that the officials are being totally going way further now than they will in the regular season, hoping that that's going to rein the players in and that the flags won't fly in the regular season the way they're flying now. I don't have that confidence it's going to happen. And I think everyone understands the point and the purpose of what the league is trying to do. But they have this word, this phrase that they use in the NFL when they consider new rules, and they call it unintended consequences. And I think the unintended consequences of this is that just for reality, you're going to have different crews calling it differently from one to another. And we saw some calls last night that you just look at and you say, How could they throw that flag? How could they? But we also know it's a bang-bang game, and it happens so fast that depending on the official's angle or whatever, it looks like it was, so they throw the flag. And it can't be reviewed. Then you watch on replay and you say, oh, man, that flag shouldn't have been thrown. And so you're going to have game-changing plays. You're going to have maybe guys ejected when they shouldn't be. And at least in college, when they put that targeting rule in place, at least after 1 year, they realize, well, we'll at least have replay that can negate an ejection, even though the penalty would still stand. But mm-hmm. at least they review it to keep a guy getting ejected, and that's been enforced on numerous occasions. But they're not doing that in the NFL, now they claim it has to be egregious for a guy to be ejected. But who knows? Maybe someone will think someone's egregious, then you look at the replay and say, no, that wasn't that bad. Come on. And so
I think
it's going to be so inconsistent that it's going to be talked about all year.
Howard, circumstance often forces these issues, and you have the media blown up over injuries. You got movies being made. You got this and that, and yada 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 yada. I mean, you have grown men sitting there beating the crap out of one another, banging their heads together for 15 years, and then saying, "Oh, I didn't know that playing football could hurt me long term." You know, I mean, when you got people saying that they don't know the ramifications, well, they're either morons or just stupid, one of the two.
Isn't that the same thing, John?
The fact of the matter is,
I think guys realize that now.
How you could play,
John? What's the difference between being a moron and being stupid?
What's that?
You don't think that they realized that 30 years ago?
No, they didn't. Because guys joked about it. Guys joked about it. They get a concussion or something, and they'd be joking the next day. Oh, I don't remember what happened after this. They joke about it. They didn't realize what was going to happen 30 years from then.
Don't you talk when I talk. When the king is talking,
well, you asked
a
question, so I answered it.
Let me tell you something right now. Back in the 70s, when I was a young boy, with a long member, my mama was saying to me, put a helmet on when you ride a bicycle. You don't want to hit your head.
Right, but she didn't say to do it because in 40 years you might have a problem. That wasn't what people thought.
If you're not supposed to be banging your head, what makes you think that you can bang your head every day and not have a problem? You damn liberal Democrats, a caucus mofo.
Yes, come on, speak common sense. You're not speaking common sense.
No, you're not. That is common sense.
No, you're not.
Common sense is if you don't think that playing football is hazardous to your health, whether it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s,
you're
2000s, then you are stupid.
You're changing the argument. You're changing the argument because everyone realized that, and they say, I would do it anyway. They realized it, and they hid the concussions. They wouldn't tell anybody if they had one. The point is, though, is the long-term damage that wasn't as known back then as the immediate what was going on. And that's the case. I mean, when was the first issue of dementia and things that were happening? And the other point is, how many thousands of players that have played banging their heads every day have never had an issue in their life? Never had an issue.
The percentage is actually pretty small of guys that do have issues. Let me ask you this, Bernie Sanders should run the world,
God.
Let me ask you this. How many players have we heard over the last decade admitted that they lied about concussions?
I just said that. I just said that they didn't tell people when they had one. I just said that because they wanted to keep playing. But we're talking about the immediate thing of what happens as opposed to what could happen 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
Okay, so now in 2017 or 18, depending upon where you're at in your life at this point, let me tell you something. Don't go banging on the NFL for rules that they're trying to implement under the guise of making this a safer sport.
I didn't bang on them for doing that. Instead, I said I understand why they're doing it. But the point is they're going to call penalties when a guy because they're calling a penalty when a guy just lowers his head, even if they hit a guy with their shoulder. If you hit a guy with your head, okay, fine. That should be a penalty. I've always said that. Spearing and all those things should be penalties. And those guys that do that, that should be penalized. I've never said anything to the contrary. But a lot of guys, they lower their head because you're going in to tackle. What are you supposed to do, stand straight up and try to tackle a guy? You won't have anybody making tackles. So you lower your body to get into position. But if you hit a guy with your shoulder, that shouldn't be a penalty. And we see that called, and we're seeing it called a lot of times.
That's why I don't expect TJ Moe to be on the show much longer because if you can't lower your shoulder and go downwards, this little SOB is going to be running for 14, 15 touchdowns a year.
John, let's be honest. They could miss me and then get back up and tackle me before I get to the end zone. 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome on the topic. I think as a general rule, I'll be honest with you, at least the ejection part will be gone by next season. Perhaps the entire rule will be gone by next season, or at least heavily modified. David Solomon.
We've got some coward from the 314 who doesn't want to put a name down who's saying, liar, he's so old. When he was a kid, bikes were still 12 feet tall, that is, and no one had heard of helmets. Seriously, though, he is way too old for his mom to make him wear a bike helmet. And again, some coward who couldn't even put a name down.
I'm curious, John, do you think your mom dropped you a couple times and that's why she was so concerned about the helmet wearing?
It all started with the doctor dropping me.
And you know what the funniest thing about it? That's not funny, but you know what the interesting thing about it is? Is during all this, it always struck me as strange that when a player, if he hurt your arm, it was listed as an arm injury, a knee injury, an elbow, whatever it was. But if you injured your brain or your head, they didn't call it that. They didn't call it a brain injury. They didn't call it a head injury. They called it a concussion.
Well,
it was almost as if they put this word out there so no one would even have that obvious thing. Oh, if it was said every time, man, you just injured your brain, all of a sudden people would have thought a lot differently about it. But they came up with a benign word for the injury almost to kind of lead in a different direction.
I do wonder on that one, because we do weird things. Like, for instance, the first time you heard laceration didn't sound like somebody just lost their leg, but it's just a cut. You know what I mean? Like, we do some weird stuff like that. But I also wonder, too, like, if you had a swollen arm, you didn't think about it. If you got a swollen brain, like, there was a time where you didn't really know. You're like, okay, it's swollen. Like, your elbow, it'll go back down to normal size, and who knows?
Right, and the other thing is, and after the concussion, you'd be okay the next day. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, you'd be okay the next day. You think, okay, no big deal. I just got to, you know, what do they call it? What was the word? I just...
got my bell rung?
Yeah, got my bell rung. Yeah. Okay, and then it was done, and boom. And so, it was...
Yeah, it's like crabs. It makes no sense. It's itchy, but it's not like you're getting bit or anything.
Right. Well, the next day, the itching stops.
It depends on who you're with, John. You might be getting bit.
I see where you guys are going. I agree.
Hey, one quick note before we go to break here, because we're right up against the hour. But Chase Daniel, this was put out by, what is that? SpotTrack.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How much he's made as a back.
He's made $24.3 million during his NFL career.
And I think he's thrown what?
That is $311,000 per pass and $261,000 per yard run. John.
How many pass attempts does he have? Like 78 or something?
It doesn't say on that.
I saw that. That's pretty wild.
We've got one more on the text line. Whose drunk grandpa keeps calling in? Just kidding. Love you, Hadley. I don't know how much John was paying for that one, but.
John, did you just text into the show on one of your 9 phones?
I think I've been suspended.
I don't know how to text that damn thing. I would never text into a radio. I'd be a real man, pick up the phone and confront you on the phone, go mano a mano in a verbal war to the very end.
The very end of what, John?
None of your damn business. Go to break.
Hey, this is The Hardline. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We got to go to break here. But I want to get into some Mizzou talk on the other side of the break. We're going to hit some college football. That, after all, is John Hadley's specialty. We got some over-unders for this year, and we will give you we'll give you some now because they're still being adjusted, but I want to do a true gambling segment probably next week or the week after here very shortly. I do love the over-unders, the projection of all of this is a lot of fun. So we will dive into Mizzou next segment, do some over-under stuff for college football, and we will be back shortly. This is The Hardline.